Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast. If you like movies, you're in the right place. We cover the full gamut of cinema. We got your B-movies, Oscars, indie films, blockbusters, everything. Everything. So just subscribe on your audio platform of choice and on our YouTube channel. If you want to see what we're about, go check us out on podcastnamedtim.com. We have over 400 movies we reviewed. You can click on the film, the movie poster on there, and it'll take you to our thoughts on that film. And again, there's a whole variety in there. We're also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And that's pretty much the gimmick. This week, we're going to be doing The Informer, 2019's The Informer, and The Clones of Bruce Lee. Next week is our second annual Nicolas Cage Week. If you want to hear what we're going to be reviewing, please listen to the whole episode because that'll be at the end so you can get ready for next week. I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir?
Fantastic.
I was waiting for it. I like the suspense that Bill's building up.
Do you?
I do. It was nice. Nice.
To build. One day I might say something different.
Maybe. Well, other than these lovely films that we're going to be discussing, what have you been watching this week?
I actually watched a double feature last night.
Whoa. What'd you watch?
I did. First, we went on over there to that HBO Max and watched that new Angelina Jolie movie, Those Who Want to Kill Me, or
yeah, sure.
Something. Put me on that list now after watching the movie. It was very strange. It was almost like three or four different directors and writers did it. It just had such a different sections, and they were all just kind of, none of them really went together. They had, and it's like she was not even necessary.
Okay.
Her part was actually, I don't know, it kind of made it sound like in the description of the trailer that she's going to be a fire jumper, one of those people that jumps into fires and those forest fires and puts them out. And that she was going to help this kid get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very small part of the film, and it was very anticlimactic. Didn't do all that much. I mean, they jumped in some water. Okay. But anyway, yeah, then it had some hitmen that were right on the borderline of being comical or deadly. Could have been really deadly, and when they were playing deadly, it was cool, but then they got a little... I don't know. It was really strange. The weirdest part was the end. It ended, and then there was all these other scenes past the ending that were just, I have no idea why they did them.
It's like the Return of the King.
It was just like, well, okay. It kept making you think, okay, oh, maybe one of these. Maybe somebody else is going to pop up here and take them out or shoot them, or we're going to have some other kind of scene of action or something. And it was just credits.
Okay. Like,
what is the, I don't know. We watched it together here, and we kept, when we thought it ended and then all of a sudden it went to the other scene, we were all like, oh. Well, can't be that guy. There's no way he survived. Maybe that guy survived, or maybe there's another set of hitmen or something coming. And when it went off, we're all looking at each other like, well, what happened?
Right.
So then we watched, and it's very rare that I can pull two movies out of Amy at one time.
That's very impressive.
I just happened to go over to Netflix and was scrolling around, and we saw Things You See and Hear.
Sure.
Why can't I remember the titles of things anymore?
Why, yeah, what, you're getting old. What's going on over
there? I'll tell you. It's newer. It's new. And again, it's just movies nowadays, they got two problems. The main thing is they don't know how to end movies anymore. They just, I don't know. They get you built up into something, and then it's just like, all right. I don't know if they run out of money or what, but they just kind of just don't film in order, so I can't imagine what it is. But it just, and then again, they don't have a direction. they try to take from, oh, well, that was good in this movie, and that was good in this movie, and that was, so let's put it all in one movie. That'll be okay.
Right.
No, you know, you need to either be a psychological thriller, be a movie about spirits, be a movie about, you know, have one thing that you're dealing with. I don't need to have a relationship movie with a person maybe going psychotic and blah, blah, and find out that he's not who he says he is. That's fine. That's a good movie. Unravel it. Let the wife figure it out. But then we got to throw these spirits in for no reason whatsoever. I don't know. I don't know what to do nowadays. So those were, I give them both a 5 out of 10. So altogether, I got a good movie.
Is that how that works?
I think so. And then other than that, I've just been watching, finished the first season of Castle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty strange. I'm assuming, so looking at the second season, it looks like this is, every season's a different, like American Horror Story, mm-hmm. every season's going to be based in that area, but another story, because it has been the same people. This was okay. It was...
Okay.
And then, What else? We just watched the fourth installment of Bad Batch.
Yeah, I thought it was the weakest one. So.
It's very weak. The whole series is weak.
Sorry. You're wrong, but okay.
It's so cookie cutter that it's and I don't. I'm tired of us having to put. I know we have to. I know even though it's a space movie and it's another dimension, another whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
You have to speak English because we got to understand it. I got that.
Okay.
But then when they stick in, you know, the bad guy has to be chewing on a toothpick or, you know, why? Why do we have to put our characteristics that we consider bad there? Let's go with something original. Let's do something different.
Star Wars has always been a film that is ballsy.
Well, you know, I just some reason I told you, I think I told you earlier, animated Star Wars just doesn't do it for me. I don't know what it is. And the characters, I can't stand the cookie cutter characters.
They've been giving them lots of layers. And
no, they haven't. There's no layers.
Yes, they have. And you also don't appreciate Echo because you didn't watch Star Wars, The Clone Wars.
I got that Rambo. What's that Rambo guy?
Hunter.
He looks just like the Rambo. When they did a Rambo cartoon back in the 80s, I guess, 90s or 90s, he looks just like that. I don't know. Neither one of us are really.
Well, I will tell you, as a fan of Star Wars and who has been watching.
Star Wars.
As a fan who watches all of the stuff. I'm not saying you're not a fan. As someone who reads the books and comics and all that, this has been the strongest start they've
had.
Yeah. This is the strongest start they've had to an animated series. Typically, especially with Dave Filoni, the first season is very cookie cutter and much more geared toward younger audiences. And then he allows the show to expand and grow in the worlds they visit and in the complexity of the ideas that they're doing. Because this is kind of a continuation of the Clone Wars, they've been able to hit the ground running with a lot of things. I watched Bad Batch episode 4. I thought it was the weakest one so far, but I am curious to see who hired Fennec Shan and what connections that might have to some other Star Wars stuff. And then continued my rewatch of the Clone Wars with the wife. We're in season 6. So almost done there. And that's pretty much all I watched other than these movies. Nothing else exciting this week. Too much other stuff going on. I watched some hoops. Watched hockey. So I got a little sport. Yeah. And that was about it.
All right.
So, you know.
No deal.
Well, let's get into these movies. We're going to start with The Informer. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So The Informer came out in 2019, is rated R, 1 hour and 53-minute runtime, has a 6.6 on IMDb, has a 62% on the tomato meter, a 63 from the audience score, stars Joel Kinnaman, Rosamund Pike, Clive Owen, and Common. And basically, it's about a convict who is trying to help out the FBI and getting taking down a Polish crime boss. But the FBI, it we'll get into it in a little bit. I thought this was a really good movie. I'll just say this was your pick for the week. I really, really enjoyed this. Was it generic in some parts? Yeah, look, there's only so much you can do with a crime drama. But I was rooting for Pete Coslow. I was rooting for him the whole time. The FBI, if you want miracles, I give you the FBI, and here was a miracle. They were total heels in this. They kept doing my boy dirty. Time and time again, he was giving them what they wanted, and they kept screwing them. And it was just great. So I enjoyed this film. Thought it was paced well. I thought it was acted well, shot well. Gave me everything I wanted. What did you think?
It was all right. No, it was okay. I liked it. It a couple times it was a bit confusing. It was a bit like, huh? Wait a minute. Who and what? But it got to where it needed to get. And I didn't like the ending.
You didn't like the ending? What?
No. I don't know. It was a little bit, it almost felt like a series ending, like an ending knowing season 2's coming and we got to see where this guy's gonna go next. So I don't know if there's a sequel in the works. I mean, we kind of, this guy's got a month to hide, and we don't know what the heck he's gonna do. I actually, probably an unpopular ending, wanted him to turn away from the tunnel and walk away and get shot down in front of his family. As horrible as that sounds.
Well, I wanted him to make it to the press. I wanted him to take down the FBI. Right. But
the only problem I really had with it, Common wasn't very good in this one.
I thought he was all right.
I've seen Common do a lot better acting than this.
And Clive Owen?
He's okay.
Clive Owen's great, as always. He's great. He's great as always.
I like Joel Kinnaman anyway.
Yeah, he was really good. He was really good in this. I wanted him to take down the FBI because I know, what's her name? Rosamund Pike, who played Wilcox in this, Agent Wilcox. At the end, she tried to make a face turn. But I was like,
nah, I wouldn't mind it.
You buried this guy enough.
Yeah.
He needs to take you down. I actually would have liked a little bit more of the Polish mob because I liked
that guy. That guy was awesome. I liked
him. Yeah,
that.
He was really good. So I would have liked a little bit more of him. But
I've never seen that guy before.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. And
he was good.
He was badass. I enjoyed it.
You know, it was, better than average.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that they delivered very well on this.
Yeah,
it just, and I don't mean this as an insult, and I know this might sound like I'm just saying it's an average film. I thought it was a very competently executed, I thought it just executed well. Because you had this, you know, the FBI's in an informant, you know, all the stuff you would normally expect. And I just thought they executed everything very well.
I wanted a little more prison time.
Yeah, that would have been good. And I didn't, maybe you can explain this to me. I didn't quite get why the FBI was so sold on the fact that, well, our informant happened to be at a scene where something bad happened, you know, because he's a convict and with other criminals.
Right.
And so now we can't help him.
That was a little too forced.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think the FBI could just get around it, just like they do all the time, come in and tell the NYPD, too bad, get over it.
Yeah.
Move it on. We're the feds, and, you know, it is what it is.
Well, and also, like, at the end, or when he's going into prison, and he's asking Agent Wilcox, hey, I need you to do X, Y, and Z for me. And one of the things is he wants her to help her smuggle some drugs in.
Right.
Which is the point of what they're trying to do. I'm trying to catch people selling drugs, and she's like,
you're on your own, homie.
She's like, I can't help you. I'm like, You can't help me do what I what we're trying to do.
I was a little down. That didn't make a lot of sense.
Yes,
I thought he went a little too ballistic, a little too quick.
No, man, burned him. They burned him again.
It did, but they're taking the cop, and I don't know. That seemed
a
little extreme, right to that point. But you know, they got a 2-hour movie. They got to do it when they can do it.
And I didn't understand, even if you're going to screw and burn him, why didn't you still hook up his family and put him in a safe house like you promised?
They're garbage.
This was
definitely anti-government, anti-FBI movie.
Yeah. It's like, what is going on here?
We watched that 90 Days In where they stick those cops and other people into the prisons to find things out. And that's one reason I picked this. I was like, oh, I like that show. I like the way they do that. So kind of wanted to say, and I guess that's why I wanted a little more prison time to see how he got in and got himself back into prison and started selling the drugs and all. It was, I enjoyed the movie. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I just, I don't think I liked it as much as you did, but
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, all right. I was rooting actively, I cared about the character. I was like, you did them all.
It was the best movie I watched this week. I know that.
Well, we'll get into that.
I'm talking about the two movies I watched last night.
Oh, okay. I thought it was really good. I don't think I've seen anything with Joel Kinnaman in it. I know he was in Suicide Squad and RoboCop. I haven't watched either one of those.
I'm trying to think of a couple things I've seen him in. I think more TV shows I've seen him in.
Okay.
But I like him.
Yeah, no, he did really good. He's got a good look to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He fits it.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like he should be in a superhero movie of some sort. I guess RoboCop's kind of a hero.
I have not seen the RoboCop update.
No.
No desire.
Same.
Peter Weller will always be my RoboCop.
Absolutely. Well, there can only be one RoboCop, and then there can only be one Bruce Lee. But let's get into the next film, which was my selection for the week. The Clones of Bruce Lee came out in 1980. R rating. I don't really know. You could have said PG-13, but okay. R rating, 1 hour and 31 minute runtime. A 4.2 on IMDb, no tomato meter, and a 29 from the audience score. It stars Dragon Lee, Bruce Lee with one E, Bruce Lai as Bruce Lee 1, Bruce Lee 2, and Bruce Lee 3, and of course, always got to have a small role for Bolo Young in I guess, a lot of different movies. I'm going to read verbatim from IMDb what this synopsis is, because this is what sold me on the movie. Bruce Lee has just died, but the BSI is swinging into action to salvage the situation, aided by the brilliant Professor Lucas. Cells from the martial arts master are removed and grown into three adult Bruce Lee clones after undergoing training to bring their skills up to the level of their father. The three are sent out to battle crime, with one sent to take on a gold smuggler and the other two teaming up to shut down an evil mad scientist. Now, full stop, that is a great plot of what should be a great B-movie extravaganza. That's gold right there. I like the Bruce exploitation. I'm always, maybe like isn't the correct word. I've been enamored with the idea of Bruce exploitation films because it's this weird subgenre, like subgenre of a film from 73 to basically 82. You have about 20 movies that are made where people are just trying to make buck off of Bruce Lee's name and likeness and selling people on the idea that this person is also Bruce Lee or the next Bruce Lee, and people being dumb and not knowing it. This was a different film because it actively acknowledges it is a Bruce Lee exploitation film. And it's kind of like an Avengers of all of the of all of the Bruceploitation actors, it's like the pinnacle. There's only like two other Bruceploitation films after this one. So this is kind of the peak end. We're going to, this genre is coming to an end. Was it good? No. Did it deliver on some of the things I wanted? Yes, but I actually think they missed out on a big opportunity here. Your thoughts?
It was just awful. It felt uncomfortable that they went so far.
Yeah.
To show that this was what it was. Yeah. I was surprised. Did his family not have a problem with him showing the famous Bruce Lee casket scene picture? That's very, I don't know. That made me uncomfortable. I don't know why. Just, shouldn't the clones at least look alike?
Well, you know,
I mean, they have to look like Bruce Lee because we know it's not, but I think that maybe one person playing those three.
Well, that's why they kept having the sunglasses on, the aviators, so that way they kind of masked it a little bit.
The movie made no sense. I have no idea who was who and who was going after who and who was fighting who. And the fighting, the sound effects were so bad behind it.
Yeah.
Oh, they were not matched up. Now, I don't know if that's the copy that we got to watch, if at one time they were. But Alex actually walked in while I was watching this, and he was like, oh, that's really bad. I mean, it was a full second behind. This was just awful. This was worse than that animated one.
No, that is where you were wrong, and I will draw the line there. This is not that bad.
Oh, no.
I think what I was, and I mean this very sarcastically, impressed with, is that you have a movie that knew what it was. It wasn't one of those bad kung fu movies where they don't deliver on the action. There was a lot of fight scenes in this film. I'm not saying they were great, but they delivered on what you would want from a movie like this. I mean, the mad scientist was cheesy and fun. You had people pretending to be Bruce Lee and doing the motions and doing their best impression, and it gave you lots of fight scenes. But they were, I feel like I was staring at the screen when the fight scenes were happening, and I'm like, I don't know what just happened. It was just, just nothing to them.
There was no build up to them.
Yeah, there was no build up to them.
Kind of happened.
Yeah, and I'm just very disappointed that you had a movie where there were three Bruce Lee clones. You could have had them doing anything. I don't care what. But that it just went this poorly. I
was upset nobody wore the jumpsuit.
Well, I'm about to say one of the guys wore basically his outfit from, I think it was The Big Boss. When he had the white shirt with the V-neck and the pants, I was like, all right, so they're doing, I mean, they did some of the other stuff.
I needed the jumpsuit.
They should have done a different color. Yeah.
I needed the black and gold jumpsuit.
How many movies did Bolo Young also contribute to as far as just like, we're going to kind of keep making my name off the fact that I knew Bruce Lee?
I was embarrassed that he was in this.
Do you think when they were having their fight scenes and he had to pretend like they were Bruce Lee, like, what do you think was running through his head that whole time?
This is going in my bank account.
It couldn't have paid him that much, right?
I don't know. I have no idea what Bolo Young's asking price is, but there couldn't have been any other reason for this. He certainly was not honoring his friend. He was not making a good movie. It had to be just about the money.
Yeah. This should have been better. This should have been a so bad it's good film. It should have been. This when you read the synopsis alone and the idea of it, it is the perfect idea behind what one of those movies would be.
The people that did was that movie? Should have done this. Should redo this.
Is it something we reviewed for the show?
Yeah.
The Bastard movie?
The fat.
Oh, Fat Man Japan? Fat Man, yes. Big Japan, whatever it's called?
I'd like to see them redo this. Or Tarantino. If Tarantino had gotten a hold of this.
That'd be great. You know, I was actually, and this is granted it's Wikipedia, but they list Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as a Bruce Exploitation film.
Just because he's in it?
Yeah, and I was like, there were some other ones it lists. Like, it lists when we did, and we did this other movie, New Fist of Fury, which, of course, was Jackie Chan's first film and was god-awful as well. It lists that as well, and I was like, no, because Jackie Chan's not trying to be Bruce Lee.
Right.
It just is a sequel to a movie Bruce Lee was in. So there's some on this list. I'm like, I don't know if that counts. So,
yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't star, like, Bruce Lee and Dragon Lee and Bruce, all those people.
Right.
Those are the four or five. There's like three or four actors who are like in this genre. And that's that's just the fascinating part about it is with this film is like you had all of these guys who had done all of these Bruce Lee movies that are just like, all right, we can do one more paycheck. He's been dead 7 years. Let's cash in one more time.
Yeah. Like, It was interesting. It was bad, man.
It should have been better. This should have been better. In a bad way.
As much as you were, so.
That's a great plot of a film.
Kind of had the same feeling as that Italian wrestling movie we watched.
Oh, I like that movie, though.
I know you did.
The Invincible, whatever, the red superhero guy, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. I enjoyed that. See, that had some character to it and some fun. Like, and this could have been on that level. And it wanted, that's what I wanted. That's all I wanted was that level of film. And I didn't get that. I didn't even get that. But it was not great.
No, his fight scene. I still don't really understand what the point was.
Well, so yeah, you had like the BSI. Is that an actual organization or is that just like a made up?
Bullshit.
You had fake FBI, like whatever. They were like British FBI.
Yeah.
They hooked up with this mad scientist was like, we need you to chrome Bruce Lee. So that we can have agents that can then fight crime. But also they wouldn't be able to be very secretive because wouldn't they obviously look like Bruce Lee?
And then why did they turn on the scientist?
Because he decided he got upset with the BSI because they didn't thank him enough. And so he had like a chip inside the Bruce Lee brains, and he was trying to force them to all fight each other and kill each other so there would only be one Bruce Lee and so that he would have like a champion.
Did have quite a bit of boobage in it though.
It was like really
that
random.
Was strange.
It was for like, it was just like,
yeah,
would you like some tea or something? Like
it was like that made no sense.
Yeah, it was not great.
This was a one.
I actually gave it a 3 or 4.
Give it a what?
I think I gave it a 3 or 4.
Oh, 4? No way. 3. Now this is a 1, homie. All day long.
Okay. So I still liked it more.
No one should ever watch this. Ever, ever, ever.
Well, when I write my book about Bruce Exploitation films in the next few years, I'll have to rewatch it so that I can talk.
You do that.
Yeah. But yes, L'Invincible Superman. That was the movie we watched. And if you all want to see our thoughts on that, you can just go to Podcast Named Tim.
I am.
You know, in that same episode, we had reviewed Get Out in Brazil. So that was quite a week. Well,
we weren't lame and only do two movies. We just
did I did watch a third movie this week that I remembered that I watched. I forgot about. I went and watched the riff tracks of Cool as Ice.
That doesn't count.
I rewatched Cool as Ice, basically.
They ruined it.
It was not one that. It just wasn't their best riff tracks. They're normally a lot better.
They really pointed out how bad it was.
I think the issue they had was they were leaning too heavily on the and I know it's because it's Vanilla Ice, on those kind of jokes about like his, you know, making like rap his song names and stuff like that. Typically, they do really well when they have just a random movie and they can just react more to that movie as far as random things that are happening. And this just felt more, we're going to throw like Vanilla Ice trivia at you and make fun of it. That's just what it felt like. So it was not the best riff tracks, but there were a couple moments I appreciated. So last year, we decided to do a Nicolas Cage week. And we wanted to kind of make this a tradition, if you will, because obviously Nicolas Cage is a man who has a vast cinematography. His IMDb page is very long and very full. And last year we did... It's all over the place. Last year we did Outcast, Con Air, and Valley Girl as a week. We also reviewed Viva Las Vegas another week randomly. But this year we're going to do Nicolas Cage week again. What are we watching for Nicolas Cage week? I'll let you go first. I have two in mind.
Well, I got to go first.
I mean, I can go first, but I kind of want to see what you're going to pick.
Well,
I'm mine are both irritated. Newer. Go ahead.
That's scary. I wanted to go old school, but I can't find it anywhere.
Okay.
I wanted to do Wild at Heart.
Mm.
Dip our toe back into David Lynch pool, and it's supposedly a really good David Lynch movie, if there is such a thing. I wanted to see, but I can't find it anywhere except for somewhere that you don't have. And so, all right, never mind. And I didn't want to pay for Face Off and all those ones that I've seen a million times. So I went with his brand new film.
Oh.
Willy's Wonderland.
I'm glad you picked that because as I was searching for films, my wife is a big Nicolas Cage mark. And so she's always very excited when we do Nicolas Cage films because she wants to watch all of them. And that was on her list of films she was hoping we were going to pick.
Yes.
So
Amy watched the trailer while I was watching and went, "You're not actually going to pick this, are you?" I was like, "What? This looks awesome."
Well, I originally wanted to pick Face Off as well, but like you said, couldn't find anywhere for free. But so I went newer Nicolas Cage, and since you're going to get weird, I'm going to get weird. We're going to do Primal.
I don't think I saw that one on there.
It is on Amazon Prime, full free.
I thought you were going to pick Mandy.
No, although I thought about that too. I thought about Pay the Ghost and Kill Chain. I really wanted to do Color Out of Space and Face Off.
I looked at the Color Space. I looked at that and I was like, no, it didn't do anything for me. We got to pay for Willy's Wonderland. Sorry.
That's fine. That is an acceptable.
Your wife wanted to see it, so you can do it.
That's right. An acceptable expense. Primal is there for
free. I'm gonna call the studio and get a free copy.
That's right. We'll make some calls. But I'm excited for this. It is always good to do some Nicolas Cage films.
Why did we decide that was going to be our...
Typically, in these summer months, it is harder to find things to attach to. Like, you know, February, it's easy. We got, you know, the Oscars and Valentine's Day and Black History Month and my birthday. There's easy things to tie into. And then, you know, we got spring movies, and in the fall we can do horror films, and in the winter we can do Christmas movies. The summertime is weird. It's like a time when it's hard to find.
Blockbuster used to be blockbusters, but
yeah, it's harder to find
that this year.
Yeah, yeah, and typically we would tie. I would wait for a movie to come out, and then we'd find a movie that ties into that, like, you know, with Space Jam 2 coming out.
I started to ask you what the next big one was.
Space Jam 2, Army of the Dead came out this week.
Army of the Dead, I was thinking about watching today.
I'm probably going to watch tonight as well.
Can't watch tonight, it's American Idol.
Oh, my.
It's the finale show. I got to figure out which one of these three people that I don't like are going to win.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So maybe we'll do something like connected to the Army of the Dead. But that's typically what we do during the summer is find blockbuster movies and kind of piggyback.
So can I rant real quick?
Sure.
I already sent you this anyway, but I'm going to say it on here. When they want me to take my shirt off.
I didn't. Is this about Brie Larson?
Batista.
Oh, Batista.
He's quitting Guardians of the Galaxy because they keep wanting him to go shirtless. If I looked like that at 50 years old, I'd walk down the street topless.
Maybe he's very self-conscious.
He supposedly is, but with the paycheck he's probably getting, wah. I mean, are you getting exploited?
Wouldn't it be, and maybe I'm wrong about this because I don't know enough, wouldn't it be weird for Drax to have a shirt on?
Seems like it. I don't see him dressing.
Like, I mean, you could probably do some fun bits with that for a couple minutes, but that's about it.
Ooh. That's it. I read that and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I saw you sent me something about Brie Larson in Star Wars, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, I haven't read the whole article.
Okay.
She would like to be the strongest Jedi ever.
Anakin?
She wants them to write her in as the strongest Jedi.
Well,
I'm not sure what.
I believe the whole series, all six movies that we had, and all nine of them actually are about the Chosen One. Being Anakin. So
maybe he wasn't.
Maybe he wasn't. I think that would be incorrect. And also, speaking of Star Wars, did you hear about Mr. Dave Filoni?
I did.
Well, apparently a role he's had for 10 months, but he got a little promotion, which is great. He is the closest thing we have to a true successor to George Lucas. They worked together on the Star Wars, the Clone Wars show directly, and George basically groomed him and imparted all of the ideas on what Star Wars is supposed to be and how it's supposed to look and what it's supposed to mean. So he is the closest thing you're going to get.
So now it's his fault.
The difference is, and you know, people love the Clone Wars. I think a lot of people who love the Clone Wars forget that George Lucas was directly involved in making that.
Right.
And creating that. So, I mean, you know, apparently, because, you know, in the series, they make Darth Maul into a crime lord and do all that stuff.
Right.
That was George's original idea for the sequel trilogy instead of the Force Awakens stuff. Darth Maul was originally supposed to come back and be like an underground crime boss and have this underground empire. That was the original idea for what he wanted to do. And so we just got it earlier in the Clone Wars. So he's, and the way they do that was excellently done. So, I mean, maybe not be mad at George.
Cool.
All the time. But yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. Well, that's all I got. I'm looking forward to Nicolas Cage week. And
second annual,
and then I'll figure out a gimmick for next week. Maybe I'll see what movies are coming to theaters and we can latch onto something. Although I know you don't want to latch onto Space Jam 2, since there's at least one obvious movie you got to watch at that point. We could just do basketball movies.
That'd be good.
I think that I'll see when that's coming out. I think that's coming out soon. So. Okay. Well, we will see you all next week on a podcast named Tim. Don't forget to go to our YouTube page and subscribe there. Leave a rating and review on your audio platform of choice. And tell a friend. We are very close to achieving our goal that we had set for the year on our YouTube channel. And if we could accomplish that by June 1st, halfway through the year, that would be even better. Because then we could just do a whole nother goal. So,
No, I only do one goal.
One goal. Done. Accomplished.
Once we hit that, I'm done.
It's like my New Year's resolution each year.
Yeah.
I've made the same New Year's resolution every year since sixth grade. And accomplished it every year.
What would that be?
Don't die.
Yeah.
That's it.
The damn fine one.
That's it. That's every year.
Anyway.
Yep. Goodbye. See you all next week.